Welcome to Gleaning and Gathering. I'm your host, Eric Heimlich, and I'm here with you again with some new tools. I'm excited about my new podcasting equipment and was able to get something after a catastrophic failure in a recording session here recently. I had recorded with my daughter an entire podcast. It was a better part of an hour on self-care, and it was good. Good stuff. Got to the end of it and realized that the microphones had not been working. It had been working through my interface, but not wasn't being recognized by the computer. I invested in some new equipment, and hopefully that will help us in the future. It will also expand my ability to be able to interview more people now that I've got four inputs instead of two. And so excited about being able to use those tools in a way that hopefully will make this more productive. Today is Thanksgiving, and I woke up this morning at 3 a.m. and couldn't go back to sleep. And so this podcast is brought to you thanks to insomnia. So there you go. I was thinking this morning, though, about traditions. And there's a number of traditions, particularly here towards the end of the year, that are just regular rhythms for our family. I thought I would share at least a few of ours with you, and I'm just curious what life-giving traditions you might have. What are things, what are patterns that you've found that have been helpful to you? So one of the things that we do every Thanksgiving, and this goes back a long ways, I remember hunting with my grandfather on Thanksgiving Day, and with my father for a number of years, we would always go hunting over Thanksgiving weekend. And it was just such a great time to get out in the woods. Very rarely did we get something, but just the opportunity to be out in nature and to spend time in the quiet and in nature was just so life-giving. And so this morning, my son Samuel and I, we'll be continuing that tradition. We're going to be out hunting on Thanksgiving morning. One of the things that we began a few years ago was Black Friday shopping with my girls. Sometimes Samuel goes as well, but we go Black Friday shopping and then have breakfast together afterwards. And it's just a wonderful time. And it's really not about buying stuff as much as it is just being together. And it's kind of the version for them of the hunting experience. Very rarely do we spend much money. A lot of times I'll go to Lowe's, to Menards. I'll get tools that are marked down that I wouldn't buy in other times of the year because they're too expensive, but tools that I can use and do use and get them at a cheaper price than what they're normally. So that's typically what we're looking for, have specific things that we're getting, but not just buying stuff to buy stuff. And then one of the life-giving traditions for Rochelle and I goes all the way back to when I asked her to marry me 26 years ago. Hard to believe it's been that long. But 26 years ago this year, I asked Rochelle to marry me on Christmas Eve. And I told her story, and in that story, I asked the question, will you marry me? And in our dating time, we communicated a lot in stories, and so that was one of the reasons why I told her a story. So every Christmas Eve, since we've been married, we've had a little personal party. After the kids have all gone to bed and to sleep, we have a beautiful candlelit China snack, I'll put it that way, with fruit and sparkling grape juice, and it's just a beautiful time. And we reminisce and think together, and it's just one of those wonderful life-giving times where we're reflecting over the previous year and all that God has done for us, and just spending time together. Just after all the presents are ready, everything else is ready, and it's just us, and that's been a special time, and one of those life-giving memories. For us, normally the kids get up early on Christmas, they open their gifts, and that's how they do it early. And then we have Christmas brunch together, which is always made by yours truly. And I enjoy putting together a beautiful breakfast brunch, and we just we have a wonderful time again as a family, remembering what God has done for us and being thankful for what God has provided. And so today we'll be celebrating another life-giving tradition, having Thanksgiving dinner. We always invite friends that may not have somewhere else to spend Thanksgiving, particularly folks that are single, invite them to be with us. And then we also have a collection of family as well that normally comes to join us for that. I remember growing up, Thanksgiving was always such a big time at Grandma and Grandpa Heimlich's. And it was a time where Grandma would pull out all the stops, and there would be a great big Thanksgiving feast, and the farmhouse would smell amazing. And it was a special time. That's something that as a family, even though Grandma and Grandpa are gone now, I've tried to continue with our family and making sure that we always celebrate Thanksgiving and do that in a way that remembers others that may not have that same opportunity or have the family to share it with. And so it's been a blessing. I remember one Thanksgiving in Indianapolis. Our house was jammed. We didn't have a great big house there, but we invited 40 of our homeless neighbor friends and others from our church to come and join us. And I remember the party that we had. And it was more than 1 year, but I remember 1 year in particular just having tables in all the bedrooms and tables set up throughout the living room and the dining room table full, just a house full of people and a house full of love. And I just think that's the way that Thanksgiving should be celebrated. And, you know, I think our traditions should be life-giving, not only to our family, but they should also be reminders to our children. They should be signposts that point them to the things that really matter. You know, we're surrounded by just crass commercialism. And, you know, as soon as one holiday is finished, there's the next holiday that they're advertising and trying to get you to buy for that. And so there's so much that retailers are trying to use this to get you to spend your hard-earned money on all their stuff. And it's not about stuff. It's really about relationships. And keeping it about relationships is, I think, what helps keep us connected to the things that really matter. And so you can have a wonderful Thanksgiving dinner. You can have a wonderful family tradition that doesn't mean spending a bunch of money. One of our favorite traditions as a family is the very first day that it is seasonably warm, and we do this in an impromptu way. The first day we get towards spring, we have a picnic, and we'll pack some sandwiches, and we will sometimes go to the park, but sometimes we'll just go to one of our favorite places and just enjoy the day, just revel in it. And then before winter, one of the last days of fall, we will have a picnic as well. And just seizing those moments when it's beautiful outside and we recognize that it's getting cooler and it's not going to be there for long, taking that moment. I remember one of the picnics that we had here just this past fall, and it was a day that was beautiful. It turned off beautifully seasonable. And so we just went outside to eat and had a wonderful picnic and just so many great memories with music, because you can't have good food without good music. And it was just a great time. You know, I think those are the kinds of things that should become the backdrop of our life, the kind of love that we share together and the moments that we make special, I think add just the seasoning and the flavor to our families that make our kids want more of that and make us remember that life is not just about doing. It is about being. And I think that's what I want to communicate to our children. Serving God is good. Look at the good things that we get to enjoy. And this is something that God gave us. And I think as they pick up that flavor of our life, as they see a life that is lived and not just, these are the things that we have to do, but that we are giving them these moments of joy, pure joy, when they see that there's good things for those who serve God. And I think that in those moments, making sure that we point it back to God, making sure that they understand, that they make the connection between these beautiful moments, these life-giving traditions, and the God who made it possible. So that's a little bit of what I'm thinking about. I would love to hear some of your life-giving traditions. What are the things that you do together as a family that add value to your lives and beautify the rhythm of your year? I am looking forward to preaching this Sunday, Christ the King Sunday, the last Sunday before Advent, and just reflecting together with the congregation on King and Kingdom. And I think there's this rhythm of the redeemed as we go throughout the year when we come to Advent and are reminded of Christ's coming and of his coming again. And then as we go through the Christian year, and we do that and have for a few years at the gathering, and just found great value in that. You know, the season of Epiphany and remembering that God wants us to be a light to the nations. And just as these magi from a foreign country come and are seeking the King, there are many people out there that still remain unreached and that we need to be shining the light of the gospel. And then as we come into the season of Lent and remembering Christ's suffering for us and reflecting upon that, I think there is great value in that. And then as we come to Eastertide and remembering that he is risen, and what does that truly mean for us as his people? And then after that, the season of Kingdom Tide, and remembering that there is a harvest. It's a lot like planting and cultivating and watering and harvesting in the Christian life. There's a lot of agricultural stories that Jesus tells. And so reflecting on that as a congregation, and then as we come to the end of that time, as we do this Sunday, just celebrating Christ as King, celebrating that he is Lord of all. And I'm excited to do that this Sunday. And then as we do it all over again and head back into Advent and the beginning for us of a new Christian year, and remembering that that Christ is coming again. I think that's the kind of rhythm that as a Christian, I want our family and our children to be shaped by, to remember that the gospel story, the story of God's redeeming power in the world, is headed somewhere, but that along the journey, there's these rhythms, these daily, monthly, weekly, and then annual rhythms of life. And you see that in God's instructions to his people. There were these three feasts that all of the Jewish people were to go to Jerusalem for. And again, this is a rhythm that for them became an annual thing, and it became a special thing of reminding them that we are a people distinct from the peoples of the world. And so coming together and being able to, as the people of God, to experience this year after year, generation after generation, it shaped them in profound ways. And I think that we are people that, as we continue to do things in a rhythmic sort of way, not just a one-off, okay, we're going to try this one time, but as we do this year after year, Those are the sorts of things that become just part of who we are and that shape us. And I think that there's great value in that. So I want to encourage you to not just follow the world's path of whatever it is that they say that you need to be doing, but look at your rhythms. Look at what sorts of traditions are you keeping and what are they saying? What is the message that you're communicating to the generation that's coming up after you? And are they life-giving? Not all traditions are worth keeping. In fact, there are some of them that probably need to die. But I think that there are traditions that are life-giving that not only need to be kept, but they need to be preserved and they need to be passed along. And so I just want to encourage you to take a look at that and to do the things that will help your family to thrive and to prosper. For Gleaning and Gathering, God bless.